Next up, we've got Ford, which I think a lot of you are very familiar with. Currently a market cap of about $53 billion. That's up about a little bit more than 5% year over year versus this time. So almost $3 billion of creation in market cap for the equity shareholders. We obviously think there should be a lot more. It is our favorite stock on the equity side. No secret to anybody, once again, that it's the they are the a leading manufacturer around the world going through what we think is still a renaissance that's probably in the early innings. I'll let Joe get into this a little bit more. But we think there's a long way to go as the product cadence at Ford stays incredibly high, really sort of topping the industry as a best-in-class product reintroducer, best-in-class refresh rates in the U.S. market, and that we think will be repeated around the globe, hopefully in Asia, Europe, and South America. There's a lot of work to do in those regions, but Ford, with this global product strategy, I think is well poised to leverage the success they've had here in the North American market. Today, we're very happy to have Joe Hinrichs, who is an executive vice president and also president of the Americas. We shortchanged Joe a little bit in the bio today, and I apologize for that. His most recent position prior to coming here to the Americas was group vice president of Asia Pac and Africa, where he was for 3 years. Obviously, those are very important regions and countries for Ford, so he's done a great job there, and I think he's been rewarded with this great position here in the Americas. And with that, I'll turn it over to Joe Hinrichs. Thanks.
All right, thank you, John. And good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be with you today. I was at the New York Auto Show here just a little bit ago. It's great to be talking about the business. As John mentioned, I spent the last 3 years heading Ford's Asia Pacific and Africa business unit, a region where Ford continues to invest for the future. But of course, today in my new role, I'm pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you about business in the Americas, our new and exciting products, as well as our outlook and priorities for the year. Of course, the business environment continues to be very dynamic, and today I'll update you on our continuing journey in the Americas to ensure that Ford is competitive and amongst the best. So with that, let's have a take a look at the agenda. We'll start off with an overview of our One Ford plan and talk about how the consistency of our plan has been fundamental to the results we see today. I plan to share the progress we've made in restructuring the business in North America, including key elements of our transformation and the strength and consistency of our operating and financial results over the last several years. Then I'll provide a high-level update on our business in South America, including how the team is responding to a tough business environment and is positioning to capitalize on opportunities in the region. Towards the end, I'll touch on our 2013 planning assumptions and our total company outlook. And of course, I've saved some time for Q&A. So let's get started. Most of you should recognize this slide. It's our One Ford plan. It hasn't changed, and it's as relevant today as it was when it became our guide. Our objective is straightforward: to serve all markets with a full family of best-in-class vehicles, small, medium, and large, cars, utilities, and trucks, executed through our One Ford plan, delivering profitable growth for all. Although the external environment is uncertain, and in some parts of the world very challenging, we are continuing to move forward in all elements of our plan. The heart of the plan is accelerating development of new products our customers want and value. Today, we are continuing to strengthen our product portfolio in traditional markets while aggressively expanding in the BRIC and other emerging markets around the world. At the same time, we are focused on our two brands, Ford and Lincoln, and continuously improving the favorable opinion, perception, and revenue they command among customers. Our product plan is based on providing customers with vehicles that consistently excel in four areas. It's what we call our four-pillar strategy: quality, fuel efficiency, safety, and smart technology. While offering excellence in these four areas, our objective is also to provide great value as perceived by our customers. Now, in addition to product and brand initiatives, we are progressing our efforts to unlock the value of our increasing scale, optimize our global footprint, and improve its flexibility, and further strengthen our balance sheet, all driven by a skilled and motivated team. Our global product strategy also is based on consolidation of vehicle platforms to a vital few while leveraging common global top hats. As we execute this strategy, you can see here the scale we expect to achieve on our five global platforms. Using the C platform as an example, we plan to offer 11 distinct Ford brand vehicles, achieving combined volume for the platform around the world of over 2 million units. In fact, this year in 2013, over 85% of our volume will be on 9 core platforms, including these 5 global platforms. Now by 2016, 80% of our global volume will be from just the 5 global platforms. The benefits we realize from this are more products, faster product cadence, and better profitability. Now, many of you may recall our mid-decade outlook from our 2011 Investor Day. We are continuing to work toward these goals. This is our corporate plan applied consistently on an integrated basis across all our business units. We've been working for over 6 years to drive our One Ford plan in North America. On the right of this chart, you see some of the key elements of our transformation in North America. Next slide, please. Touching nearly all areas of the business, North America has been profitable and delivering strong and consistent earnings since 2010, even at industry volumes that have been well below the trend. For 2012, we earned $8.3 billion in pre-tax profit, the highest pre-tax profit since 2000, when we began reporting North America as a separate business unit. In the U.S., we've made significant improvements in our market share, revenue per unit, residual values, and brand health over the past few years. Now you can see I've shown our operating margin trend. This is one of the important lenses through which we view the business. North America's operating margin has been above 8% since 2010, and we achieved a record margin of 10.4% in 2012. Taking all of our actions and hard work into account, we have built a strong foundation for our North American business and are well positioned to grow profitably as industry sales continue to recover. Now, this slide expands on North America's operating margins for 2011 and 2012 by showing the quarterly results. Importantly, our operating margins for every quarter in 2012 improved from the year ago quarter. And looking across the last 2 years, you can see the North America business has delivered very healthy and competitive operating margins on a very consistent basis. Now, as we look at 2013, this slide touches on our key priorities here in North America. First, we are determined to sustain the profit and margin performance we've established over the last 3 years. And this year, with full availability of key new products launched last year, as well as capacity actions implemented last year, we plan to grow our market share in the U.S. while continuing to improve our per unit revenues. I'll provide some insights on these elements of the business in just a moment. Now, one of the cornerstones in our North America transformation has been to develop outstanding products with industry-leading refresh rates, as John mentioned. Of course, this includes accelerating our quality improvements. We have a clear view of our quality priorities and will make important progress on our quality plan in 2013. As you know, we've recently embarked on a revitalization of our Lincoln brand. I won't spend a lot of time on Lincoln today. Jim Farley touched on our Lincoln plans at this morning's auto show, opening breakfast, and we'll provide more information over the course of this year. And we will continue to drive for an efficient cost structure by ensuring that all costs we are adding into the business are creating value. Now, moving on to our outlook for the U.S. market for this year. This slide shows U.S. industry selling rates for the last 3 years and the first 2 months of 2013. As you can see, January and February selling rates this year were 15.6 and 15.7 million units respectively, continuing the growth trend we've seen over the last 3 years and supporting our full year 2013 outlook of U.S. industry sales in the 15 to 16 million unit range. The memo on this slide includes the retail SAR, which has been the driving force for the steady improvement in the industry selling rates. Several factors are contributing to the strength of the retail level, including employment prospects, a strengthening housing market, and the aging used vehicle park. On average, vehicles in operation today have been on the road for over 11 years. Now, within the overall industry, the improving housing trend also is driving higher pickup sales. And given the leadership of Ford with our F-Series, this is a very favorable trend for Ford Motor Company. U.S. housing starts are known to be highly correlated with pickup sales. As shown on this chart, U.S. housing starts declined steadily and bottomed out in 2010, with pickup sales following the same trend. Both housing starts and pickup sales have been improving over the last 2 years. While the housing sector is one driver of full-size truck sales, other factors are also having a positive impact, including recent growth in the U.S. energy sector and an aging full-size truck fleet, which stands at an average age of over 11 years. We expect these trends to continue in 2013 and 2014 as economic conditions continue to stabilize and the housing recovery solidifies. Now, turning from the industry to Ford. This slide highlights the key North America product introductions from the second half of last year and this year, along with the added capacity I mentioned earlier. This is not all of our product changes, just selected all-new or major change vehicles. Among the highlights are the all-new Escape, the new Fusion, and the all-new C-Max, and our first dedicated hybrid vehicle. Our dealers have full availability of these products, and they are all delivering very strong results. I'll have more on that in a moment. Importantly, these are great new global products in core segments of the market. The vehicle segments the Escape and Fusion compete in represent one out of every three retail vehicles sold in the United States. Now, the all-new Lincoln MKZ has been arriving at dealers for a couple of months now, and we expect to have inventory at ongoing levels in April. This year, we'll be launching a new Fiesta and Transit Connect. Together with our other launches, we're expecting these actions to deliver sales and share benefits in 2013 and beyond. One of the important foundations of our brand health has been improved quality. Now, Ford North America made steady improvements in our U.S. Things Gone Wrong surveys for 5 consecutive years and achieved industry-leading quality levels in 2008 through 2010. In the last 2 years, our TDWs increased as we led the industry in introducing new infotainment technologies. Regaining our quality momentum in North America is a key priority, and we are accelerating quality actions for all areas where any gap exists. The largest of which is infotainment technologies, but also in automatic transmissions and interior functionality. We are committed to making progress in improving our TGW performance. We are continuing to leverage our early mover advantage in the infotainment technology arena, and in a short amount of time, we've advanced several generations in terms of experience and customer insight. Customers have indicated that new technologies, including infotainment, are a key driver of overall satisfaction, an area where Ford North America remains near record level highs. Now, this slide shows our U.S. market share for the last few years and so far in 2013. Our total market share reached 16.5% in 2011, capping 3 years of successive market share increases. Last year, our share was 15.2%, reflecting the elimination of Ranger and Crown Victoria, launch-related vehicle supply shortages for selected vehicles, and the Japanese competitors rebuilding inventory after the tsunami in the second quarter of 2011. Our January and February 2013 market shares were up nearly a point from the same month a year ago, reflecting full availability of our fresh new products like Escape and Fusion and C-Max, and leveraging capacity added last year. With last year's all-new vehicle launches and significant capacity actions behind us, we expect greater stability this year in our production system and with our supply base, which will be a key enabler to achieving higher U.S. volume and market share and increasing Ford North American profits in 2013. Now, the market share response to our fresh product portfolio has been very positive. Our newest products have been leading our share gains this year, along with some older models that continue to generate strong sales growth, including Explorer and F-Series. The all-new C-Max Hybrid continues to gain sales momentum and is generating a high percentage of conquest sales. Fusion sales are up 42% so far this year, and Escape sales are up 23%, delivering strong sales gains in very core segments of the industry. Explorer year-to-date sales are up 53% compared with the same period a year ago, while also achieving the highest share in the large utility segment. Additionally, we posted our strongest February sales since we launched the all-new Explorer back in 2011. We sold more than 100,000 F-Series trucks in January and February, reflecting an 18% increase from just a year ago. And F-Series remains the best-selling truck in the United States for the last 36 years. Importantly, this slide illustrates how our commitment to deliver best-in-class vehicles across small, medium, and large cars, utilities, and trucks is paying out for us. Another proof point of the strength of our products is our steady improvement in revenue per unit. As shown here, Ford North America has improved net revenue per unit in 2010, 2011, and 2012, and also so far this year. For 2012 and this year, our net revenue improvements have come despite modest increases in Ford and average industry incentive levels and a weakening yen. Our net revenue growth is driven by our strong brand, fresh products, and continued leadership in areas such as fuel economy and technology and innovation. We expect the U.S. market to continue to be highly competitive, and the impacts from the weakening yen could result in further pricing pressure. Ford has established a strong recent track record of matching production with natural demand and employing an analytical revenue management techniques to optimize our revenue performance. This will continue to be our blueprint for the challenging environment going forward. Now let's look more broadly at the business and some of the factors that will drive our overall profits and in particular our operating margins in North America this year. As I've covered in the last few slides, we expect volume and revenue to be positive factors in 2013. Vehicle mix should be somewhat of a drag in 2013, as we expect sales of small and medium vehicles to increase at a faster pace. Material costs should be about flat, with efficiencies and cost improvement actions essentially offsetting higher product costs associated with new vehicles, technologies, and features. We will see higher structural costs in areas necessary to support higher volumes this year and future product launches, such as manufacturing, launch, engineering, and advertising costs. Our focus, as always, will be to aggressively control these costs to ensure they are added most efficiently. As we mentioned in our fourth quarter 2012 earnings call, the rundown of favorable healthcare amortization and asset impairments and higher 2013 pension costs associated with lower discount rates will be unfavorable on a year-to-year basis. On balance, we're expecting operating margins of about 10% for 2013, continuing to deliver highly profitable results here in North America. So let me summarize for North America. Our results are demonstrating consistency and profitable growth. We expect strong U.S. market performance in 2013, with both market share and per unit revenues improving, and our year-to-date performance in these areas is off to a great start. For the full year, we continue to expect pre-tax profit to be higher than our strong 2012 results, with operating margins around 10%. And for the first quarter, we expect continued strong results. Now I'd like to move to a more high-level update of our South America business, as my predecessor in this job, Mark Fields, provided an in-depth look at South America just last November. Over the past several years, we have enjoyed stable profits from our South American business. However, as you can see, things changed in 2012. I'll take you through some of the reasons why in more detail as we go along. But the major factors impacting our profits unfavorably are increased competition, weaker currencies, currency controls that have caused us to limit production in some cases, and costs associated with our product transformation. Now, many of the business environment changes have occurred rapidly, literally since the beginning of 2012. The good news is that our product transformation in South America is underway, and we've been taking decisive actions to address the changing business environment. Stepping back, the overall business environment in South America has been very dynamic. The regional economies are growing and industry sales are increasing, but new entrants are creating a more difficult sales and pricing environment and are pressuring market share for the established OEMs. Based on competitive announcements, we expect this to continue as capacity in the region will increase substantially over the next 5 years. Trade balance issues have been escalating among countries within the region and with Mexico. The quota agreements between Brazil and Mexico and Argentina and Mexico have impacted our Fiesta and Fusion vehicles, which we import into the region from Mexico today. These factors, along with weakening currency and inflation pressure, will challenge our profits and margins in 2013. We will be continuing on a wave of global product launches this year that will help us mitigate this. So let's take a look at the products. Now, this chart summarizes key South American product introductions for the back half of last year and this year. Looking at this chart, it's clear we have intensified our efforts on the product side. We launched the all-new Ranger and EcoSport in the third quarter of 2012. Both global vehicles that are being produced locally in the region, and in the case of the EcoSport, was developed in Brazil as well. This was the first major wave of a plan that will transform us from 100% legacy products in 2011 to nearly 100% global products in South America by 2014. Among the highlights this year are the all-new Focus, Fusion, Fusion Hybrid, and the new Fiesta. Now, together with our other launches, we're expected to see significant benefits in 2013 and beyond. Importantly, as we roll out the global products, we'll also be expanding our market coverage. For instance, in Brazil, we'll move from covering 67% of the market today to 81% by 2014. Although the launches of the Ranger and the EcoSport are still accelerating, they are off to great results, as you can see in the marketplace. This slide summarizes how these models contributed to our sales results in January and February. Year to date, Ranger sales are up 42% across the region, while EcoSport sales are up 70%. Both vehicles have received very positive reviews from the media, including great results from competitors in tests, as well as positive responses from our customers. Although not shown, both vehicles are transacting at prices much higher than the outgoing vehicle. Now, these products are already providing strong indications that our One Ford plan is working and will improve revenue and market share as we continue to launch new global products into South America. Let's look at some of the factors impacting South America overall profits and margins. As we've discussed, our new global products are doing well in the marketplace and are driving higher revenues related to volume and pricing. These new products are also added material costs for the new features. Higher economics increase material costs, which are partially offset by efficiencies. Higher spending and engineering costs impact our results as we continue to invest in our product transformation. Structural costs increase for inflation as well as higher volumes, reflecting a growing industry and improving market share. Currencies in the region continue to weaken, especially in Venezuela, with the recent devaluation. The devaluation of the bolivar in the first quarter will impact our results by about $200 million for translation losses, as reported in our 10-K. Profits will continue to be impacted negatively as we transact at the weaker rate. The impact of the devaluation will be included in our operating results and not reported as a special item. Continued investments in our products, pressures on our costs, and weakening currencies are driving our profits to be about break-even level for 2013. So let's recap on South America. Our medium-term plan is to capitalize on the growing industry in the region by providing the freshest lineup of global vehicles and expanding our market segment coverage. Our transformation to global products will underpin a stronger brand, higher market share, and our ability to command pricing in a very competitive marketplace. At the same time, we will continue to leverage the One Ford plan to drive efficiencies and optimize our global cost base. Well, as I've mentioned, we expect lower results in the near term compared with recent years, reflecting the difficult business conditions that have developed in the region, including currency and inflation pressures. Currency impacts related to the devaluation in Venezuela, but also include weakening in other currencies, especially in Argentina. We continue to expect 2013 full year results to be about break even. We expect a loss in the first quarter approaching $300 million, reflecting primarily exchange impacts related to the currency devaluation in Venezuela. But even as the operating environment in South America has gotten tougher, we remain confident that our plan will appropriately address the new business realities and position us for growth in the future. Now that we've covered the businesses in the Americas, I'd like to step back and summarize our outlook for the total company. We showed a version of this slide at our 2012 fourth quarter full year earnings call in January. It highlights our 2013 planning assumptions and key metrics. And as you can see on the right column, we add our present full year outlook. We continue to project strong performance in 2013 and are on track to achieve our 2013 full year plan. In closing, I'd like to leave you with these key points. Our One Ford plan continues to be the guidepost for our company. It is delivering results today and positioning us for profitable growth for all in the future. In the US, we are expecting strong market performance in 2013. On top of continued industry growth in selling rates, we expect Ford share and revenue per unit to improve, driven by our strong product lineup. For the full year 2013, we expect Ford North America profits to be higher than 2012, with continued strong operating margins. In South America, our transformation from regional to global products continues and will position us to leverage anticipated industry growth in the region in the future. Near-term results in South America, however, will continue to be impacted by currency and inflation pressures. For the full year 2013, we expect Ford South America pre-tax profits to be about break-even. Now with that, after a quick run-through through North and South America, be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Great, Joe. Whilst we're queuing up in the audience, I just ask a first question on the pickup truck market here in North America and the U.S. Specifically. Obviously, you have a competitor coming out with a new truck second half of this year, but it does sound like in the changeover, there'll be somewhat capacity constrained. I'm just curious where you stand on your capacity and your capacity utilization. Everybody thinks about pricing pressure in the industry, but it sounds like we might actually have, like we've had for a couple of years, some real potential for pricing to improve in the key pickup truck market. I'm just trying to gauge your understanding of, or your thoughts on what's happening there, and then if you could tell us exactly what's going to happen with the launch with the F-150 in the second half of next year, that would be great.
We did launch, we did show the Atlas concept, the North American International Auto Show, but it was a concept. We feel very good about our position with the F-Series this year, both from a capacity and a product standpoint. As I showed you, our sales are up 18% so far this year, and we have very good inventories and we have very good capacity. We added a shift last year, as you may recall, and so now we have three shifts in Dearborn and two shifts in Kansas City on the F-150 side, and on the Kentucky truck plant, we're running basically full capacity for the Super Duty, the F-250 and above trucks. So we're in a good position capacity-wise and a very good position inventory-wise, and so far our sales are off to a good start for the year. And we'll have steady capacity and steady capability throughout the whole year, which I think will be an opportunity for the full year. And, you know, we had the new Ram last year, and GM has their launches this year, but we've been a leader for 36 years, and we don't expect this to be the year we give it up. So I think it'll be a good year for F-Series, and we're very excited about what's happening in the truck segment. When you look at the first 2 months of the year, the pickup truck segment as a share of the industry was about 12.5%, which was up from last year. So you're seeing that growth that we're talking about, which is exciting for us, clearly, on the truck side.
Yeah, I mean, and the pricing environment, I mean, there's always this, you know, constant fear, but it seems like it should be fairly solid.
Yeah, we have a unique situation where we have a new Ram truck, and we have GM in sell-down mode of their current truck before the launch, and then we're, you know, at the leader with steady kind of production. So there's a little bit of movement going on, but overall, there's growth in the truck segment. I don't see tremendous pressure on the price side.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
If I could just ask a question on Europe, if that's all right. It seemed that Ford took out about 18% of capacity utilization in Europe, which was 300 or 350,000 units. It's still going to be a cash burn in 2013. When does some of the cost savings really kick in? Is it kind of the beginning of 14? Is it later in 14? Is there any transparency to when, you know, that capacity takeout will really take effect in the numbers?
Well, as you probably know, we've been working through the consultation process with Genk unions, and that's just recently starting to see the end of where we're going to be on those. And we started production actually last week for the first time since October. We made the announcement. So it's a little too early to kind of be giving indications of what happens with that as we settle in on all the results of the votes and everything. With Genk and with Southampton coming out of the capacity, I mean, you're looking at it based on today's product portfolio and today's production. Of course, we expect over the next several years the European industry will come back somewhat from where it's, you know, really at a near historic low right now, running in the low 13s on a SAR rate. And then, of course, we've also been talking so much about our product launches and the product cadence we want to have for Europe, and really, as we did in North America, I don't want to say double down, but really increase the investments we're making in new product and increase the product portfolio. So the combination of those two, we feel pretty good about where our utilization will be in the future after we get through the actions. As you noted, in 2013, there are costs associated with the actions we're taking, as we talked about in the first quarter or the fourth quarter earnings call. And so we're dealing with that effect. Because you take actions now, you have to take care of some of the costs. But we think, as we stated in many times, that you right-size the capacity to demand, you keep investing in product, and you keep working on the brand, especially through the retail channel that we've been focused on in Europe, and that will pay dividends as it did in North America, and that's where we are, and that's the plan.
Thanks. Thank you.
Question over here.
Hi, thanks. Two questions, if I may. The first has to do with the mid-decade target I saw for North American margins of 8 to 10%. You guys were over 10% last year, targeting around 10% this year. Mm-hmm. It seems like by mid-decade, lower pension costs should be a tailwind to margins in North America. So I'm wondering what accounts for, you know, potentially 100 or 200 basis points decrease in margin for the target. And then second, just quickly about the quality control issues with my Ford Touch and what you guys have done to fix that and make sure those kinds of issues don't happen in the future.
Sure. Well, yeah, as you know, the mid-decade guidance that I referenced was given in summer 2011, and we haven't updated that mid-decade guidance, so we're working toward that. Clearly, we've seen, especially last year, strong margins in North America, and we anticipate that again this year. So, you know, we'll continue to try and leverage the growth that we're seeing in the North American market to kind of keep these historically high margins and grow the business. That's our real focus for North America. And as we said back in 2011, those margins were kind of through the cycle. And so we're in the growth side of the industry cycle now, but our intentions are to realize those levels of margins, you know, through the business cycle. On the My Ford Touch issue specifically, we've done a number of software updates, as you may know, which have really improved the system. It's taken out some of the issues that we were experiencing with it, and we're continuing to work with both Microsoft and others to enhance the system. Some of the issues that we've found in connectivity between the cell phones and the system, and also the speed at which the system operates, we've been able to improve by software improvements, and we'll continue to do that. The other thing that we're doing is also, in some cases, simplifying the system a little bit. so it helps it speed it up, but also so this it's easier to find on the touch screen where you want to go while you're driving. That's one of the issues that we've been addressing. So we're seeing a lot of progress. Our customer surveys are saying that that the improvements are being realized by the customer. And interestingly, on My Ford Touch, we probably don't say this enough, but the research that we're doing, people are checking the box saying I've lost connectivity or one time or another or other things. But at the end of the survey, you're asked how satisfied you are with the vehicle, and vehicles equipped with My Ford Touch have higher satisfaction than vehicles that don't in our surveys on average of the same vehicles. So these are things people want, value, and feel like are important, and Ford's a leader in this regard. So we have this situation where people definitely want the technology, they value it, and they're happy to have it in their vehicle. Of course, we need to continue to enhance the experience so it's perfect every time, and that's where we are. Thanks.
I had a question in the back.
Can you identify yourself, your name, and your company, please?
That'd be helpful. Doug Scott from Merrill Lynch. There's a question about the weaker yen and the impact on competition. You commented that you were worried about competition due to the weak yen and concerned about further pricing pressure. So two things on that. Firstly, what actual signs have you seen from the Japanese that they've lowered prices over the past few months as a result of the weaker yen? And secondly, what do you expect going forward? Are you more worried about incentives or the ability to add content?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks. You know, incentives have risen a little bit, especially in some cases on the luxury makes over the last few months. But we haven't seen a dramatic increase in incentives, and frankly, in the near term, don't expect to see that. That's not historically the behavior we've seen with weakening yen. Historically, if you go back and look at when the yen has weakened in the past, we've seen more content changes for the same price. So added content for the same price as opposed to incentives. So we'll watch that very carefully. And that takes a little bit longer to, you know, adjust in your business plan and the product offerings that you have. Because if you have a lower cost base, you can content the vehicle up and still have the same price, and nobody says you're pricing, but you're actually offering more value to the customer given the advantage that's had by the yen. There's also other things that can take place, like higher fixed marketing or advertising, those kind of things. And of course, the Japanese OEMs have been pretty vocal. Some of them have been pretty vocal about taking up their profit expectations for the year with the weakening yen. So obviously some of that will be taken in profits, you can assume, based on what they've said externally. You know, at Ford, we've been very clear and consistent on this, whether it's Korea or Japan or anywhere else. We believe the market should set exchange rates, not governments. And we believe that the North American market that's gone through a massive restructuring and taken out its overcapacity should not be the recipient of major exports from a market that hasn't taken out its overcapacity. And the Japanese market has nearly 12 million units of capacity and a market industry domestically about 5 million. And so if the yen is devalued, that makes those export opportunities more attractive. As the U.S. industry grows, and we're all expecting it to continue to grow over the next several years, that provides more opportunity at a lower cost base to export to the United States. Because the European market is in recession, so you can't export there. The Chinese market is probably not an export destination from the Japanese OEMs, so you come, you know, more likely to come to North America. And that's the reality of what situation is going on. Okay.
Do you have any more questions? Margaret, and if you can identify yourself just so we have it for the transcript, I appreciate it. Thanks, Margaret.
Margaret Moore, DuPont Capital. I was wondering if you could comment about your plans to revive Lincoln. It hasn't been very successful so far, and neither you nor Cadillac at GM has really been successful at pushing back at the European and Japanese luxury brands that have come to dominate it since a long time ago.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I mean, and as you may recall, in November, we really came out in strong force with Alan and Jim and others talking about, Jim Farley and others talking about the revitalization of the Lincoln brand. We're just starting really with the revitalization of that brand. The first product that we're bringing out that represents what we want Lincoln to represent in the future is a Lincoln MKZ. That launch has had, you know, several issues in the first few months, and so we waited to release the vehicles until we really felt comfortable where they were as far as meeting the standards of luxury that we want Lincoln to stand for. Now we have pretty good availability in the dealerships, and by the next couple of weeks we'll have full inventory levels in the dealerships for the Lincoln MKZ. So in April, we should get a good indication of our sales performance for the MKZ because we'll have inventory for the first time. But this is a multi-year journey, and we know that. We showed the MKC concept at the Detroit Auto Show. It's also here in New York. And that's targeted at the fastest growing segment of the luxury market, which is actually the small SUV segment. So when you combine the new MKZ with the segment of where the MKC concept would compete, you see lots of opportunity for growth. Now, we're not just focused on the product. Of course, we have said we'll have four new products in 4 years, but we're also focused on the experience, which we think can be a differentiation. But we're going to have to prove that over time. We're working very closely with our dealer body to change the expectations of ourselves and what customers expect of us in the showroom of sales and service when it comes to the Lincoln experience. So that will be rolled out over time as well. But as we said, we're committed to it. We're going to launch Lincoln in China the second half of next year, as we said in the fall of last year, which will give us opportunity for more volume for Lincoln and also an opportunity to compete on a more global scale. So more to come on Lincoln, but looking forward to April, starting in April, show the world the MKZ and what can come with that. Thanks.
Question over here.
Kimberly Rodriguez, KPMG. Ford committed to a variety of transmission and powertrains across your platforms. Could you talk about how that's impacted your performance, how you see that impacting your performance going forward, and if there's any change in that?
Sure. You know, several years ago, we really committed to six-speed transmissions here in North America, and that's continued to play out. And, you know, we don't have anything else to announce on that front, but we've been really committed to six-speed transmissions all the way from Fiesta all the way up to the F-Series. When you look at on the engine side of the business, we've really been committed to the EcoBoost strategy, which is really paying off for us. If you look at the level of sales we're achieving with EcoBoost so far this year at the run rate compared to where it was last year, it's up dramatically. Whether you're an F-Series or Fusion or Escape or other products. And the great thing about EcoBoost is, yes, it gives you better fuel economy than the same horsepower, higher displacement engine, but it also gives you a great fun-to-drive experience, which people still want in their vehicles. And that's the and strategy we continue to want to have. Make it fun to drive and still give you better fuel economy with a lower displacement engine. So the Explorer I talked about, sales are up 50-some percent so far this year. A lot of that's driven by the 2-liter EcoBoost engine we now have in that Explorer, which is a 4-cylinder. I mean, who'd have thought that a few years ago? That's a really important part of our strategy. The other part that you're seeing play out is continued proliferation on the hybrid side. The C-Max hybrid, which was launched in October, November, has set record sales for the first few months of any hybrid, new hybrid, and we're very proud of that. Actually, it's been a pleasant surprise for us, what we're seeing on the coast, especially with C-Max. The Fusion Hybrid Energy, which is a plug-in hybrid, just came out this month. I'm just arriving to showrooms. And of course, we have the C-Max Energy, which is also a plug-in hybrid. And the MKZ Lincoln that I just talked about will also have a hybrid version coming out now as well. So you'll see growth in that part of the business as well. But we're very committed to the EcoBoost strategy and our hybrid plug-in hybrid strategy. And of course, we have battery electric focus. Hasn't had the sales rate of other of the hybrids, though. We're committed to that. But it really comes back to, on the powertrain side, our commitment to be best in class in fuel economy in all the new vehicles we introduce. That's a commitment we've had for a couple years. And to change history and to have fuel economy as a reason to buy a Ford. That's why we think Fusion and Escape are doing so well, for example. They lead in the fuel economy in their segments, the great new products. And that's why the V6 EcoBoost F-Series continues to do so well. And that will continue to be our strategy for the near term. Thanks.
And I think with that, we're out of time. So we really appreciate your time, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.